Blog Talk Radio.
Fire! Fire!
Wake up, everybody, to MPH Radio. On the 4th day of November, 2023, we're welcoming you to another episode of MPH Radio. Our theme today is the history of white women and the United Nations as tools for slavery, oppression, and exploitation. We will discuss this theme and many others, and we encourage you to join us by dialing in at 818-337-0016. In order for us to move forward, we must find a way to fill in our missing pages of history so we can understand the past that will prepare us for the future. This is what we're going to do today. We want you to come and join us. And like always, our agenda for this particular program will entail giving you something to think about. MPH Black Mini Fact from France. A message to the community. And of course, our theme today, the history of white women and the United Nations as tools for slavery, oppression, and exploitation. We'd like to commend all of those artists, producers, and creators who created these documents, these videos, these documentaries that we will use today to discuss our particular theme, which is located on YouTube. Go and check them out. We will talk about them shortly, but at this particular time, let's begin peeling our missing pages of history. I'm the voice of MPH Radio, and we would like to give you something to think about. And that thing is freedom. As you know, freedom is a concept that is often talked about, thought about. Millions and millions of people died. Generationally speaking, over this concept, the whole question of the history of freedom is a history of constant struggle for what it is. So we think that because of the fact that this is an important concept in which human beings continue to fight over and die over, give you something to think about in terms of how do you see and define freedom. We want you to think about this concept, which is freedom is the ability control all those means that are necessary for life. Freedom will have the ability and the means to control all those necessities for life. That's what freedom is. What do y'all think about that concept? You can call in later on and share your thoughts. At this point in time, like always, glad you got your pen and your paper. And we're going to share with you a little bit about your history with some MPH Black Mini Facts, which will be articulated by Susie, who is a member and supporter of MPH Radio. So we can bring Susie in, and she can share with you for this week some MPH Black Mini Facts. At this time, we'd like to welcome Susie to MPH Radio. Welcome, Susie.
Good evening. Today I'll be giving you Black Mini Facts from the PRSP of 2021. The first one, November the 1st, we had John Johnson publish first issue of Ebony magazine in 1945. On the 2nd of November, Assata Shakur, political prisoner, escaped U.S. prison after serving only 6 years of her life sentence in 1979. On the 3rd, we had Felix Mumu, revolutionary organizer in Cameroon, was poisoned by French imperialist agents in 1960. And on the 5th, we had the UN voted first unanimous arms boycott of South Africa in 1977. And on the last of this week, we had R. Hyde awarded patent for cleaning and preserving carpets in 1888. Those are the few minute facts for the first week of November 2023. Thank you.
We'd like to thank Susan for her MPH Black Minute Facts. We hope that you took heed to them. And remember, we are a people who make history. We are the history makers. So at this point in time, we seek to serve underserved communities and try to aspire our communities to do greater things and reach a higher height of progress, productivity, and work of goodwill. At this point, we will bring in Brother Alex, who always has a message for our underserved communities. So at this point, we can make our transition to Brother Alex as he speaks to our community, how he speaks to the community. Welcome to MPH Radio, Brother Alex.
Well, Brother Lee and Sister Susie, again, thank you for giving our community this opportunity to hear something good, because every day it seems like we've heard bad news from one direction or another. But I also would like to say that there is good news on the horizon, and that good news may start in just a few days, because I'm asking each and every one of you to go out to the ballot box and vote. And I would like to ask you and say, hey, as many people have asked me in the past, because I've been doing this thing for a long time, and that's getting people out to vote. It's been in my family's blood since they've been here. It's a part of freedom, is what I believe and what I'm bound to. So many years ago, I heard a young man speak about how important the right to vote was. He was tall and seemed thin, had a warm smile and a hearty laugh. He had a beautiful wife who stood near him, and he introduced her as simply Jackie. He said not only was she beautiful, but smart too. She would prove his point the day he was assassinated, and the country needed her strength to make it through his film and beyond. He stood there addressing the nation in the debate on which way to take the country as it faced civil rights, a Cold War, and an arms race with Russia, communist aggression in the Far East and Cuba, and the bad economy left by the conservative Republicans remaining true since Lincoln. He appealed to the heart of the nation. He was the son of a well-to-do family, young and had little experience in politics, but saw a better America. He believed in a better America, believed in a united America, but it had to change. America had to live up to its promises of educating, feeding, housing, and providing jobs to the poor and the homeless. Many in the nation had plenty, and now it's time to help the common fellow American. His plans for a better America are still in force today, but are being threatened in Congress by a house divided. It is a house controlled by those who wish to do away with the Head Start program, free breakfast and free lunch at schools, government-backed education and business loans, the job courts and visa program, reduce health care costs and elderly care, defunding the space program, the IRS, and the Justice Department. He argued that it was the Democratic presidents and Democratic-controlled Congress who had cut spending, balance the budget, provided laws for the poor to have better educational, job, health care, and home buying assistance. The Republicans favored smaller government with weaker powers versus states' rights, who cared very little for the common voter or citizen. Republicans had favored less gun laws, less taxes for the wealthy and privileged, but more discrimination against the poor and disenfranchised. As the debates wore on that summer, I began, as many others, to believe the young man who talked of a new frontier and putting a man on the moon in 10 years. The young senator from Massachusetts became known in those debates as the future of America. John Fitzgerald Kennedy had won over American voters as the man for the White House and the leader of the free world to fight communism. He showed great determination and will standing there at the podium, telling the American public that he did not believe in big government, but rather in effective government action. No truer words could be spoken, as for recent weeks, we have seen ineffective House members who could not pick a House speaker for weeks. They are fighting among themselves and have no idea what they were elected to do. There's no plans or efforts to work across the room to get the people's work done. As the world watches, it used democracy at its worst as the infighting continues in the people's House. Where is that tall young leader who brought the country together? Yes, we need good leadership like that now. They called his term in office Camelot. The things that were accomplished during and after his term in office led to the Great Society and the civil rights laws that were passed to help the poor, the homeless, and the hopeless. We were better then, as we seen the nation that had less guns, less drugs, and less fraud and corruption in business and government. Now today, the Supreme Court judges have very questionable ethics as they have lost confidence with the public. Congressmen and congresswomen openly lie and give false information to their constituents. We are witness a former president who tried an insurrection and has been indicted many times in several states. For some, it seems easy to ask, why vote for these crooks and criminals, as there seems no end how politicians break the law and seem to go unpunished. There are good men and women in Congress who go to work to try to do the people's business. They are few, because we don't hear from them. They don't seek attention. They just compromise and do the best they can for all citizens of the country. You see, as Americans who care for all others, there are no red or blue states, no turning their backs on those that have a natural disaster, a problem with drought, or runaway forest fires. Americans have always come together to fight a common enemy. Now the enemy is within, and there are political terrorists all about. Laws are being ignored, gutted, or removed that ensured the very freedoms the Constitution Amendment stood for. The most powerful weapon in this country is the ballot. That is why, from the very beginning, women, Indians, Asians, and the people of color were not included in the voting process of this country. The voting laws were passed to benefit the wealthy and to keep them in power over women and the poor. In a few days, if you decide to vote, remember that the simple action can be taken away. That is why many want to do. Take this powerful right away from you so they can do as they please and have you enslaved to them. It happened once, and it can happen again. For all our sakes, please vote. In 2020, I had an opportunity to speak with some of the citizens of Eufaula, Alabama, about voting. It seemed to be a close-knit community, and the people were very friendly and treated me with great honor and respect. I was on a mission to get souls to the polls. I sought to register as many people as possible. As I sat on the porch and listened to a woman who was well past 90, she told me a story I never saw in print or video. Here's the story of a community that, despite the efforts of Jim Crow, they gave their lives to vote. Power of the people remains strong and enduring. On Election Day, November the 3rd, 1874, local white residents determined to regain political dominance in the county they had lost during Reconstruction used terror and intimidation to suppress black votes, ultimately waging a violent, deadly massacre. As 1874 election neared, white employees opened fire on any black worker who intended to vote for Elijah Skelos, a white candidate who supported the aims of Reconstruction, for the position of the city court judge. False rumors spread that black residents planned to violate and to drive white voters from the polls, and white residents began stockpiling guns near their polling sites. The judge tried to notify state and federal officials of the danger, but Alabama's attorney general rebuffed and warned about federal troops stationed and refused to intervene. Despite the risk, hundreds of black men marched at the downtown polling site on November the 3rd. Some black voters were immediately arrested in jail on fraud accusations. Around noon, several white men forced a black man into an alley and threatened to arrest him if he did not vote against civil rights. As witness protested, a single gunshot was fired by an unknown individual, harming no one. Soon afterwards, a large mob of white men retrieved the stockpile guns stored nearby and fired indiscriminately into the crowd of mostly unarmed black voters. Within minutes, over 400 shots had been fired, killing at least six black people and possibly many more based on some estimates. As many as 80 additional black people were left injured. Many survivors fled, including an estimated 500 people who had not yet voted. Later that day, a white mob attacked another county polling station in Spring Hill, Alabama, where Judge Kellis was the election supervisor. The mob destroyed the ballot box, burned the ballots inside, and killed the judge's teenage son, Willie. Although the identities of many white perpetrators of the massacre were known, no white person was ever convicted. Instead, a black man named Hillard Miles was convicted and imprisoned for perjury after identifying members of the white mob. Years later, Braxton Bragg Comer, whom Mr. Miles had named as perpetrator of the massacre, was elected governor of Alabama. The massacre after this afternoon showed black residents and exercising their new legal rights, particularly by voting, made them targets for deadly attacks, and they could not depend on authorities for protection. The result was mass voter suppression. While 1,200 black residents voted in 1874 elections, only 10 cast ballots in 1876. The legacy remains. Today, the population of Barbara County is nearly 50% black, but white officials hold in 8 of 12 elected county positions. In 2016, the county had the highest voter purge rate in the United States. I know it is your choice to go to the ballot box and choose your candidate. But I plead with you to honor the ones who died so you could do so. It can make a difference and send a message that change is a coming from the people who need it the most. And I thank you, Mr. Lee, for giving me this opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Alex. This message to the community was a message from Brother Alex. Those are solely his views and his expression, and they should not be viewed as necessarily the views of this radio station, its affiliation, or numbers. We'd like to thank him, and we'd like to invite you, the listening audience, if you have a message to the community that you would like to share on this program, feel free to email us at mphradio@yahoo.com, and we will give you that opportunity. So let's continue to fill in our missing pages of history today as we take a station break with music, with a message. And when we come back, we would like to have a collective discussion on some important documentaries that was produced and can be viewed on social media. And we're going to discuss these documents, and we'd like to have your participation by dialing in at 818-337-0016. And also remind you, if you live in the Richmond, Virginia metropolitan area, please check out our TV show that comes on the weekends, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays on Comcast, Channel 95, and Verizon Cable Company, Channel 36, at 1 a.m. So check them out and spread the word. So right now, we're going to pause for this call, go to a break with music, with message, and when we come back, we will discuss today's theme, the history of white women and the United Nations as tools for slavery, oppression, and exploitation. This is MPH Radio.
just wouldn't feel right. And if I didn't have you by my side, ooh, you were there for me to love and care for me. Those guys were great. Whenever I was down, you were always there to comfort me. No one else can be what you have been to me. You will always be, you will always be the girl in my life for all time.
Mama, mama, you know I love you.
Ooh, you know I love you,
mama. Mama, you're the queen of my heart. Your love is like tears from the stars.
Yes, it is.
Mama, I just want you to know, loving you is like food to my soul.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Always down for me, had always been around for me. Even when I was bad, you showed me right from my wrongs. Yes, you did. And you took up for me when everyone was down on me. You always did understand. You gave me strength to go on.
There were so many times looking back when I was so afraid. And then you come to me and tell me I could change anything. And no one else can do what you've done for me. You'll always be, you will always be the girl in my life. Ooh, oh.
Mama, mama,
MPH Radio. We're playing some music with a message, and of course, we're going to give you the best that we got. And we too love our mother and Mother Africa. This is why we are trying to fill in our missing pages of history, because by doing this, we ensure that our children, not only will they learn the truth, but they will have a better future by understanding their past. So be that as it may, we're going to make our transition to our theme today. the history of white women and the United Nations as tools for slavery, oppression, and exploitation. That's right. You may ask yourself, what is the relationship between white women and the United Nations as it relates to this subject area, the tools of oppression, exploitation, and slavery? We're going to talk about that in the context of some very creative work that the creators and the producers and those who participated in producing certain documentaries that can be located on YouTube. And the first documentary we'd like to discuss, and if you are on our board and listening to the program and you'd like to make some comments on this particular documentary, we'd ask everyone right now if they will hit one on their phone. If the please will hit one, if they'd like to have this discussion, be part of this discussion. Hit one at this point in time. We thank you. Now, what we're going to do right now, there is an interesting video documentary titled United Nations Were Created to Destroy African Continent. One Africa Right Now. It is a very fascinating documentary because it raised some critical issues in terms of the question of understanding the history and the role and the purpose of institutions. Once we understand that, then we'll see them in a perspective, from a perspective, and how to better deal with them as relates to the suffering and the struggling of African people worldwide and all oppressed people. So we'd like to have a little discourse on this particular documentary, and we encourage you, if you have seen it, to also join us by dialing in at 818-337-0016. So let's begin this discussion as we will fill in this missing page of history. Now, in this documentary, it talks about that the UN was created in 1945 in San Francisco. At the time, the condition of the world was mostly colonized. Most of the world was colonized. And when we say colonized, most of them were dominated by Western countries such as England, France, Portugal, Germany, U.S., those countries. And they said that it was created to colonize and oppress African people and African continent, because one of the things that came from this was, as they were defining and discussing the concept of human rights, these concepts, or this concept of human rights, did not apply to Africa or African people, but they still didn't see us as being human. So here you have an institution that came to existence based upon the perpetuation and continuation of African enslavement, African oppression, make sure Africans do not become truly independent where they can compete with the rest of the world, particularly those who was in power at the time. Now, I think a lot of times when we talk about the United Nations today, we don't understand that. We missed that point. So, Brother Alex, we're going to have you to start off in terms of my little narrative that just presented to this audience. When you look at this particular video and the premise that came from the video, a UN has always been used as a tool to undermine, oppress, and to exploit Africa, African people. Your thoughts on that particular narrative, Brother Alex?
Well, again, Mr. Lee, we have to realize that the opening statement of when the UN was created, the idea behind it, and who were the formative countries who were in charge, who had the votes, and who set the opinions. It's sort of like our own country. Who was in charge at that time that wrote our Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and our Bill of Rights? So who was in charge, you know, decides what they want to write about and who they want to control? If we look at coming out of the World War, Ottoman Empire, that had a lot of different countries, that's why a lot of problems as we see in wars today, because a lot of those countries are involved in a struggle today to find a peaceful resolution in their existence because of one of those twisted ideas coming from the United Nations where people were not compensated on both sides like they should have been. So when you don't bring the actual people to the table to decide their future and you decide their future for them, what kind of big mess you going to have on your hands? So get back to the video. I think it should have been dedicated more than just the time it was allotted to, because it was so much information there to be shared by the young lady. She did a tremendous job of explaining so many different things that I did not even know about the presence of African unity, how important it was at that particular point, because you still had the French involved, you still had the Germans involved, you still had the British involved, you still had Spain involved, you still had all these different countries involved because they were coming out of colonialism. And the thing was that they wanted to promote a democracy idea because communism was on the horizon, you know, coming out of Russia, out of the with Stalin. So when you look at who was going to take over Africa and all those riches, because you got to look at the mineral wealth, you got to not only just the human wealth, but that mineral wealth, you know, who is going to have control of this? You know, will the countries themselves have it or will we have it? And it came to being, you know, as the documentary pointed out, that these nations that had colonized them had the rights to be them trading and buying and selling, which I think is ridiculous. Because if any country should stand on its own and be able to sell and trade and do what it please, they should not have to, and we should not have to go to Europe to ask anybody to sell anything, and from Mexico shouldn't have to go to China to, you know, bargain their way with anything. It's just totally ridiculous that these countries still had influence years later. But like I said, they set the rules there. And in other conferences and other meetings that had happened for years beforehand. And so the thing was to keep Africa under control, to make sure that she was not a bargaining partner in world trade, world ideas, world influence. So this was a wonderful, wonderful documentary, and I just totally enjoyed it, and I'm opening it back up to the panel because I want to hear some more opinions, you know, of what they thought, because I enjoyed it. I really did, and I appreciate you sending it to me.
Thank you, Brother Alex. We're going to go to Carlo 6057, 6057. We're going to open up the mic to you. We'd like to have your take on this particular point of the UN, its whole origin or come to existence was based on to continue the colonization, the exploitation of Africa and African people. Your position on that point. And one of the most critical points I think the author made, or one of the presenters in the documentary, was that, again, as they discussed human rights, they still were not considering African people to be of an equal or to be human. 057 on this particular point.
Thanks for having me. Revolutionary greetings to you and the panelists on the program. Let's see. I think the documentary raises a number of good points, and the fact is, the UN was formed in 1945, at the time when colonization was a dominant form of oppression. And it was formed to prevent World War III from occurring. And it was primarily an agreement between the imperialist powers of the world at that time. as Brother Alex pointed out. And let's see, it has maintained, it has remained a tool of imperialism since its founding. And it suppresses the rights of Africans to have an equal say in their affairs. And this is a dangerous situation, and it has led to the continued colonization and exploitation of African people throughout the world. A lot of Africans don't understand this, and they think the UN is the solution, you know, to our problems. It isn't. It is the unification of Africa, which the UN, you know, is a tool for preventing. And, you know, it works against the achievement of Pan-Africanism, which is the total liberation and unification of Africa under scientific socialism. And the UN has been used as a tool of imperialism to prevent this from happening.
Thank you, Carlo. Next, we would like to hear the thoughts from Carlo 4298. Your thoughts on the position on this question that we're discussing, Carlo 4298, and your thoughts are, the mic is yours, Carlo 4298.
Yes, I think Brother Anthony just preceded me pretty good. It was created for the prevention of World War III, and certainly de facto when the imperialist cows got together, obviously the colonialism and stuff was taken for granted, just like when the U.S. of A. was formed, slavery was taken for granted, and so it's not about why things got started so much, because the people united will never be defeated, and it's the people who make up these bodies of people. And so, you know, just like the vote 187, it takes Cuba off the state front of terrorism. This shows the unity of the world, and so the motherland is. It's not the key. The fatherland is the key. Where we're going, not where we're from, and so, you know, as a communist, I take issue with President Kennedy and his anti-communism and killing Patrice Lumumba, and the chickens came home to roost to him. And so, you know, as communists, we stand for truth and justice and fair play, and we're in words and deeds. And so I'll leave it right there. Thank you.
Thank you, Carter 4298. Again, this is the MPH Radio. If you're on our board, you would like to participate on this discussion, please hit 1, and we will acknowledge you by your last form numbers. Let's just move on to another issue, another point from this documentary. Which I thought is really important in terms of how these people present our history, present African history and our struggles. It made the point that we must realize and understand that this whole question about Africans' independence was one that was not given to us. We took it because they came and took independence from us, in which we naturally had. So this question about people giving us something, we need to change our narrative. It becomes very important of understanding that we took what were not the ours and where we were before. We was independent. How important of that particular point for our people to realize that aspect of our history, Brother Alex, when we talk about this question of people deciding what they give and what they let us do versus what we demand and what we took rightfully that belongs to us. Your thoughts on that particular point, Brother Alex?
Well, Mr. Lee, I truly believe that from the first moment that when European colonists set foot on Africa, they had no business being there. So that's my first take on that matter. Because if you didn't come there to help and engage in trade, and I mean equal trade, flim-flam and fraud and corruption of trade, but to honestly trade with a country for its wares and goods and its mineral rights and stuff, then it makes a difference because, you know, you're supporting their economy and giving them an opportunity to achieve greater things. Because one of the things that, you know, the young lady mentioned in the video was about them being considered third world nationals. And a lot of United Nations people also call them LDCs, least developed countries. So you put on that list. So it has never been the true want of the United Nations to go in and help these countries, you know, to make sure that they had strong governments, that they had strong educational systems or jobs or so much that you can help the country, you know, with in a starting country that you want to so-called bring it into a first world or first class country or even a second class nationalist country. So there was no idea or plan there to do so. The only plan to come to Africa was to take what you could and take as much as you could. So it has always been a wrong thought that good has came out of colonialism. The history has been written that they did good by coming in, the French, the Portuguese, and all the rest of them, but there was no good truly there, that they upset governments, killed leaders, and put tribes against each other and all kinds of craziness. So that's what we really have to look at. But in the meantime, the African began to lose his language because they were now speaking French and German and Spanish in Africa, not their own language anymore. So you also began to lose your arts in Africa because a lot of the history was being stolen and taken away. We call it excavation and archaeology, where we take different things of history buried in tombs and all kinds of temples and wherever, and take them back to European countries and all over the world. And these wares are sold for millions and billions of dollars. And the African country that they took them from don't benefit anything. So we have to look at all that lost history that has been stolen out of Africa and then rewritten to make it look like it was a good thing. And then we have to look at also, you know, the religion factor that was taken away. And when the people can't practice their own religion, because now they bring you another religion and say, this is what you should believe in, and not believe in what you've been taught for over 10,000 years. But we want you to believe in this. We want you to worship this way and believe in our gods and our system. So there were just so many things in the video itself that were self-concerning and should be brought to everyone's attention that, you know, yes, Africa must have been the greatest place on earth because everybody went there. And just imagine that, a country that every country needed. But yet and still, no country wanted to give her due. And then I pass the mic back to you.
Thank you, Alex. Call us 6057. The significance, particularly psychologically, as we talk about how one presents their history, the issue of we took what rightfully belongs to us. No one gave us independence. Just your thoughts, caller, on that particular point. But again, the nuances, how images and messages are conveyed is very important in terms of how it impacts one's ability to think. So this whole point of this question of independence or people giving you something, you know, they say in law school, if they can give you something and they can name you, then they can claim you. But from this particular documentary, I thought this was a real crucial point about how we naturally took what was right for us and they never gave us anything. Your thoughts on that narrative? Call us 6057.
I think it's a good observation, and I think the sister made a good point that that independence was something we took back, from the European imperialists. We did not, it was not something that was given to us. Presenting the history in that way, implies that the imperialists had the right to take it away in the first place. Your observation is correct. The way history is presented is crucial in terms of our thinking. This incorrect perception of history, does have a psychological impact on Africans to this day, and it must be corrected. Before the exploitation by capitalism occurred, we were proceeding through the same stages of development that every other human society was proceeding through, we were going through communalism, feudalism, and other modes of production. We were developing according to our own needs and our own culture. I thought she made a good point. The cultural and economic oppression we've been a subject to over the last, 500 years or so. It continues and will continue until we get organized and unified. This sort of exploitation continues, and it trans all modes of our culture, art, religion, politics, economics, etc. The solution is political ultimately, but the portrayal of our history is very important, crucial for our development.
Thank you, caller. Go to caller 4298. 4298. That was another issue that was raised in this documentary as it relates to whether or not we should see the UN as a leading force for moving forward as it relates to the oppression of African people. It made a statement and talked about the human rights treaties, the very treaties that came out of the UN during that time. Again, those treaties were not really reflected to our interests. They was not really considering us to apply these treaties to our interests. Now, one of the things in law school, from my understanding, is that one of the ways how you interpret the intent of the law is to look at the time period when it was made and who they were addressing at the time. If that is true, and that is the method that people do use to interpret laws, how do you see UN today in terms of being a lead advocate for treaties that should be respected and applied to all people and not just to the so-called countries who have power? Just your general thoughts on this whole question, treaties that were made by UN, was treaties that were not really recognized for the interests of African people. Call 4298.
Now, let me say that the UN today is not the UN of yesterday. And so, you know, the people and the world is not the same. We are more enlightened now. With, you know, the communism and the idea of communism, even the word itself was outlawed. Basically, they were killing anybody who claimed to be a communist. And Vietnam, no exception. The UN is a tool that can be used. For instance, the 187-2 vote, that was a sort of unity, and we need to unite to find and make further victories. But we can't just base ourselves on why things were started. We gotta take control of our own lives and our own destiny in our hands and do what we need to do instead of contemplating what the motivations of other people are. We have to have our own agenda, and the UN can play a role with the 187 votes to two vote shows. The people can be united, and they will struggle, and they will loose the chains, the bonds that oppress people. Countries want their independence. Nations want liberation. The people want revolution. And that's the irresistible historical trend that nobody in the world can stop. Thank you.
Thank you, Carla. We can go to Carla 7236. We're coming to Carla 7236. Based upon this documentary, based upon what you have heard so far, if you look at the UN and how it played a role or has played a role or continue to play a role, are not to the best interest of Africa and African people. What are some of your thoughts as you listen to this discussion today? Call 7236. The mic is yours.
Well, the UN of today is clearly intent on a, quote, new world order, marginalizing Africa, the global south, and China, as China begins to play a neutral role as a peacekeeper. So we see that right now, we don't see the UN serving an interest of human rights, serving the interests of the planet. Those are moot in today's UN. What's more phenomenal is that there is a, we're moving far to the right. When I say we, not us Africans, not us the people, but the planet. There are very conservative elements, for example, with what we've seen happening in Israel since October 7th. And thousands of people that have been killed, the 3,700 children alone that were dead as of last week. We, the UN was intended to stop these kind of atrocities. And you saw Castro, Ahmed Sekou Touré and others speaking at the UN in 1960, and you don't even hear the voices of liberators any longer. So UN definitely needs some reform. And as you're doing this broadcast now, Mr. Lee, there are demonstrations all over the world opposing the Israeli and the Palestinians. But the UN is silent on that issue. So it's become a political tool. It works in sync with the Endowment for Democracy and other right-wing groups.
Thank you,
not
Carla.
For the...
Yeah, thank you, Carla. What we're going to do right now, for those who may be just checking in to MPH Radio, we're discussing our theme today, the history of white women and the United Nations as tools for slavery, oppression, and exploitation. If you have any thoughts on this issue, if you have viewed these various documents that we're discussing, we invite you to call in at 818-337-0016. We're going to Brother Alex. We're coming back to you, Brother Alex, in terms of one of the other issues that came from this particular documentary, which is titled, again, for those who want to know the name of the documentary, please check out, is United Nations Were Created to Destroy African Continent. One Africa right now. So, Brother Alex, it raises the issue and the conditions, or maybe one of the factors that keep Africa from being able to utilize the fully, to reach their fullest potential in terms of economic as well as political development, you can say. And that is, they talk about this colonial relationship Africa still has with its colonial countries that once colonized that particular country. And that relationship is, in general, we can say Europe, is that there is a contractual agreement or policy that was made early on as African people acquired their independence to agree to allow their currency, their reserves to be in foreign countries, their colonial master countries, as well as to pay tax. Like, for example, there is a so-called slavery tax that 14 African countries pays to France. What do you make of that situation, Brother Alex? Is that a question or fault or else, or is that something that we should always be obligated to it, to pay these taxes? Hasn't Africa paid enough taxes by its exploitation from these countries to say the debt has been paid over 1,000 times? Your thoughts on that, Brother Alex?
Well, again, Mr. Lee, I said there was no good when Europeans set forth on the African continent because they didn't set forth with a good heart, and they weren't thinking about the African people themselves. So what they were thinking about was getting rich, being more prosperous, taking money back to their home country. That means by any means necessary, trickery, buffoonery, fraud, corruption, treaty, whatever that we could do to these people to take what they have. That's the same situation with the American Indians, the people in South America and all over the world, Asia, whatever, wherever men have, and mostly Europeans have went to trade with people to establish a colony and get a foothold and start their own economy and start their own businesses and trade. And then the first thing they do is write in treaties. well, you not being educated in English law or anything, you signed a treaty. I'm pretty sure there was almost no American Indian here that knew what he was signing when he marked his X on the paper on most of these treaties. So it's the same thing there. There was no one that went to Europe and understood English law and what these treaties mean and how harmful they would be on their economies later on. And same situation, you know, happened, you know, with Haiti and France. So this is a common thing, you know, among European colonizers that want to continue to reap your resources forever, not just a few years. We're talking about forever, for as long as their governments are in existence. So the African people, you know, have done wonders in their challenges to throw off these colonizers and become independent and start their own governments and realize how important it is to serve the people first. You know, when we look at government and laws and different things like that, you don't have a country without the people. You see people leaving countries every day. There are thousands and we'll say millions of people that want to come to just say the United States. Well, they believe because it's a better way of life. There are lies are told about the United States, about saying how great we are and how the educational opportunities, how the money opportunities, everything that can happen here if you can just make it to America. So these same lies are being broadcast all over the world, you know, for people not to have faith in their own. And they're turned against their own rulers. And they're turned against their own governments, you know, to seek a better a way of life. But eternally, when people get together and decide things on their own and decide their own way of governing each other, they come out much better than a hand from across the sea that has no idea of what the people and the conditions are. It is so unfair for all these different taxes. And like the slavery tax here and all the others, the trading tax, tariffs and different things like that, that are imposed on a country to pay like this. It is just total ridiculous. But it's been a way of life from Europeans that sought to control countries long after their armies have left. You know, once you're being occupied, it's not too much you can say. But once the army leaves, you know, you should have some say in your own way, and no one should be directing where your economy lies. But they still have their hand in the pot, these European colonialized countries that were in their countries, you know, forcibly before. So Africa has a lot of things that they have to deal with on themselves, and Pan-Africanism is a way out. United Africa is a way out. One Africa is a way out. There are many people that need to meet and decide the fate of their countries, because Africa should be trading. Africans should be trading among themselves and doing things among themselves. And once they get that collective agreement and they find out that they have that much power, you know, over the world in their resources, where they're trading their lithium and uranium and gold and different things like that, that they have the power to do so. You know, you don't need somebody else telling you what to do in your own household, you know, sometimes. But you have to make conscious decisions in what is right and what is wrong. And I think most of us know what's right and wrong. Whether we do it or not, we know what is right. And so Africa has to find a way to do things the right way. Don't use the United States as an example. Don't use Great Britain as an example. Don't use China. Don't use Russia. Don't use all these countries as an example. Come up with your own thoughts and put good people in power who want to help the people, who want to grow the economy, who want to grow your infrastructure, who's going to dedicate their time to the health of the people, the welfare of the people, and then you'll succeed. But as long as we try and copycat after failed regimes, then we're in trouble. And then that's what the world, you know, we over and over, we're doing things from countries that had failed before. But we need new ideas and new blood and more organization and to talk. You know, the Africans need to really talk, you know, about taking the continent to a new level, because they should never be considered second-class citizens. That is just ridiculous, you know, that even the United Nations even considered them as. But that has been the thought since they were not involved in the initial process. And I turn it back over to you.
Thank you, Brother Alex. You remind me of the thought, or I will paraphrase the thought by Osagyefo Kwame Nkrumah, when he once stated that Africa neither look east or west, but straight ahead. We have our own way of thinking and looking at nature and defining what is. Thank you, Brother Alex. Caller 6057, can you respond to or give me your position on the idea that this question of we should never use or accept the term neo or neocolonialism, because when you say neo, they talk about something new. The sister of the documentary challenged that thought because she was saying that what's happening today has been happening for over 200 years or more. It's nothing new. I would just like to hear your thoughts on that, as well as the thought on the idea of one of the ways African countries continue to be exploited is that they continue to participate with the idea that they are allowing outside countries control how they do trade and do business. I thought we were interested in the documentary. They talk about, well, many African countries, when they want to sell their natural resources out on the common market, they are not allowed to do it without the approval of their parent colonial country, colonial master country. They will have to get permission from them. That's if they don't decide to buy the resources. So what you say to those dynamics? How do we move forward in terms of understanding those contradictions? How do we eradicate those kind of contradictions? This question of neocolonialism ain't nothing new, the word neo. And just the whole idea, we are still functioning under policies of dependency by allowing other people to define how we do trade. Your thoughts on that, caller 6057.
Indeed, the form of exploitation of Africa has changed, but it is still colonialism, and the sister makes a good point that it is not new. It is a continuation of the colonialism that we've been subject to for hundreds of years. And the way we get out of it is we have to organize and unite. And we have to achieve Pan-Africanism. And let's see, the exploitation of Africa by various colonial forces must come to an end in order for Africans to have true freedom and liberty. We face different forms of exploitation by these trade agreements which subjugate our economies to the control by capitalists. And we have to unite in order to bring an end to that. and achieve the genuine liberty.
Thank you, caller 6057. At this quick trickler time, we're going to take a station break with music with a message, and when we come back, we're going to ask all our participants to give us a summation on today's program as it relates to this topic, the history of white women and the United Nations as tools for slavery, oppression, and exploitation. This is part one of a two-part series. Program and continuation will take place on November the 18th. Put that on your calendar and join us. So we're going to take our station break, music with a message, and when we come back, we ask each one of our participants to give us a final thought on this whole question of the UN being used as a tool to support slavery, oppression, and exploitation. We'll be right back. You'll listen to MPH Radio.
When I was pregnant in jail, I thought I was going to have a baby and the baby would never be with me, but I was acquitted a month and 3 days before Tupac was born. I was real happy because I had a son.
When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was the fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Said tears with my baby sister. Over the years we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who's thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whoop into my backside. And even as a queen, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Dear mama, there ain't nobody tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away and I didn't cry cause my anger wouldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless, but all along I was looking for a father, he was gone. I hung around with the thugs, and even though they showed a young brother love, I moved out, started really hanging. I needed money of my own, so I sang it. I ain't guilty, cause even though I said it feels good putting money in your mailbox, I love paying rent when the rent's due. I hope you got the diamond necklace that I sent to you. Cause when I was low, you was there for me. You never left me alone because you cared for me. And I could see you coming home after work late. You're in the kitchen trying to fix us a hot plate. Just working with the scraps you was given. And mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone. Trying to raise two bad kids on your own. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Baby, don't you know we love you,
sweetie. And dear mama,
baby,
no one above you, sweetie. You all appreciate it. Pour out some liquor and I reminisce. Cause through the drama I can always depend on my mama. And when it seems that I'm hopeless, you say the words that can get me back in focus. When I was sick as a little kid, to keep me happy there's no limit to the things you did. And all my childhood memories are full of all the sweet things you did for me. And even though I act crazy, I gotta thank the Lord that you made me. There are no words that can express how I feel. You never kept a secret, always stayed real. And I appreciate how you raised me. And all the extra love that you gave me. I wish I could take the pain away
If you can make it through the night, there's a brighter day. Everything will be alright if you hold on. It's a struggle every day, gotta roll on. And there's no way I can pay you back, but my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Dear mama,
place no one above you.
You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you?
Dear mama.
Saturday, next program will be on November 18 at 1 p.m. We will continue this segment as part two of the history of white women and the United Nations as tools for slavery, oppression, and exploitation. We're closing out this program today by asking our participants to give their final thoughts on this whole question of United Nations and its relationship as a tool in supporting slavery, oppression, and exploitation. We ask each one of our participants to be mindful of the fact, please keep your final thoughts within 2 minutes or less. So we'll start with caller 7236, your final thoughts on this subject. 7236, caller, the mic is yours.
Well, the struggle is on, and the people are rising and speaking against the hypocrisy of the United Nations. of the United States, of the European Union, and other oppressors. That's my comment for this afternoon. Thank you so much.
Sorry for the delay. We now make our transition to caller 4298. Caller 4298, the mic is yours.
Thank you, thank you. The burning issue in my mind right now is Bob Marley's song, Get Up, Stand Up. Certainly, as a Christian, I believe in every word that Jesus said. But I understand in Luke 16:16 that Jesus said up until then the kingdom of heaven was by the prophets and stuff, the Old Testament. But now that John the Baptist is on the scene, the kingdom of heaven is preached. And so, you know, we know and we understand the mighty God is a living man because the kingdom of heaven is preached. And that God himself will return, and we'll know when God is here. Thank you.
Thank you, caller 4298, for your contribution to today's program. We now will move to caller 6057. Caller 6057, the mic is yours. 6057. Yes, caller, are you there? 6057. Okay, while we wait for caller 6057, Brother Alex, come and give us your final thoughts on today's program. Brother Alex.
Yes, Brother Lee. You know, again, you've come through, as I would say, you know, with an interesting subject that needs to be talked about and discussed. Because, yes, Africa is our homeland, ancestral homeland. And then, you know, for many of us, is our future homeland. We can just go online, you know, even today to see where we can purchase property, you know, in Africa, that we can still be part of the homeland itself. It is just amazing that we have to our ancestors, but yet and still we're not involved in talking about the history, the culture, the art, the economics, the politics, everything that involved Africa. Because we're talking about one of the most beautiful, best countries and people that have ever lived. But history has been turned against them. You know, they were invaded, not because they wanted to be. I don't think anybody ever wants to be invaded. But yet and still, they were invaded over and over again by different countries that never saw their wealth, never saw their intelligence, never saw that they were equal partners in life to be accepted just as they are, no better, no worse, that we're all equal on this planet. But that was not the thought. The thought was there to rape, to pillage, to loot, to take. That's it. We can't look at it any other way, that those were the aspirations that were set forth on that continent. And then look how the children of Africa were treated once they were brought to the New World and all over the world, suffered injustices all life as African people. We know this life is hard. We know it is because we're subjected to things that should not be there. And good Christian men, if they ever believed in Christ or believed in any religion, they would never have treated Africans the way they did, regardless what their religion was. But they pulled a religion to the side and said it didn't matter. Because their true religion was money, was wealth and power and privilege. And that's what they took from Africa to build their own great lifestyle, their own great castles, their own great countries, their own great economies. So that's what we have today, you know, as we talk about on this show. What was stolen? What was taken? What was removed? And now the lies that come behind it and say that it was done in good faith. You know, history is going to be written very unfavorable for some. But as long as many can try and keep it out of their history books, we'll never know the truth. So I thank you once again, brother, for giving us that opportunity to know and to discuss the truth about what Africa was, what Africa is, and what Africa can be. And I'll leave you with that.
Thank you, Brother Alex, for your contribution as well to today's program. We'd like to remind our listening audience, we want you to help us popularize this radio program by sending out a copy of this program to your friends and your network. And you can do that by emailing us at mphradio@yahoo.com. Also, if you'd like to support our work, Missing Pages of History, Inc., and the radio station, MPH Radio, you can do that as well by sending a donation or, as we say, flowers to us by going Zelle. And that is Missing Pages of History 1 at yahoo.com. That's right. You can Zelle us your flowers by sending to Missing Pages of History 1 at yahoo.com. Remind our listening audience as well, on the weekends, check out our TV program on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays at 1 a.m. on Channel 95 Comcast and Channel 36 Verizon. That's in the Richmond metropolitan area. Until next time, like always, we will strive to go forward ever, backwards never. We will continue to fill in our missing pages of history, because by doing that, that gives us a blueprint on how we can move forward. Again, we thank you for your support, and we'll see you on the 18th of November as we continue the discussion, part two, the history of white women and the United Nations as tools for slavery, oppression, and exploitation. This is the voice of MPH Radio, and we would like to remind you that, as always, we are here for all of you. We'll see you on 18. Let's continue to fill in our missing pages of history.
Education, 'cause right now it don't make sense. Right now it don't make sense.